Everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Thursday night Bible teaching night, and we're in the book of 1 John on Thursday nights, but it seems, I don't know, so long ago, last time I taught 1 John, so I don't know how long ago it was, but to me it seems like it could be a month, I don't know, but we're going to be in 1 John. And it's a marvelous, marvelous book. And what it boils down to is there's five books that John wrote. Now, two of them are very small. It's 1 John 2 and 1 John 3. So it's like kind of a series, 1 John 1, 2, and 3. Then Revelation. So I'm in Revelation and John really at the same time. And then the Gospel of John. So I'd like to, when we finish 1 John, go into the Gospel of John. Lots of good, good things in all his writing. So I don't like to compare them, John and Peter. And some of the others just wrote one book, like Paul. Paul wrote a lot. James only wrote one, Jude one, the Gospels. Yeah. All right, so anyways, I really do like John's writings. It's if this is the right word. I'm looking for a word, and soothing is the word that I've come up with. When I read his writings, I find them soothing. I think that's the right word. And, we'll just get into 1 John here, and let me open with a word of prayer, and Father, we thank you, even though we have to fight through these technical issues, Lord. So we praise you and thank you, though. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, I ask that the word of truth is rightly divided by in the book of 1 John, Lord, that everyone will be edified and encouraged and exhorted by the truth. And 1 John will be a blessing, Lord. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And I've got company here now, Sister Kathy.
Danny boy.
Danny boy's right here to my left.
Well, we don't hear the toy squeaking.
Oh, no, he doesn't have a toy. He just put his paws up on my leg.
Oh, it's cold. Oh, he needs some body temp.
He needs a biscuit. That's what he needs. That's what he's come here for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I realize. Okay. All right. We're going to look at chapter 2, starting at really like verse 3. Now, in chapter 2, or the book of 1 John, remember there are some things very important about 1 John, object of it. And one is to have fellowship with each other and fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and also joy. Joy. So keep that in mind in everything that we're, scriptures I'm going over. That's the object of this. It's right in the very beginning of the book. Now, as I read it, from chapter 1:1 to chapter 2:3 is really all about the same. It's a unit. That's the best way to explain it. It's a unit. And it's setting the stage for, well, the basis of the book. It's like a preface there to the book. And then it's talking about light and darkness. And then it talks about sin right away, the very first thing. So the sin has to be dealt with to have fellowship with God and to walk in the light. But then in chapter 2, we see that God has provided us the remedy for sin, and that's his Son. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Then really, chapter 2, verse 3 starts I'm trying to think of the perfect word to fit it. Because all the other verses up to it, the main body, there it is. The main body, I think that's the word. Because all the verses leading up to it are very good and very important. But there's a main body of teaching. It's kind of that, what I've just described to you is like kind of an introduction. I said preface. So now we're going into chapter 2, and it has to do about obedience to God's commandments. Now, as we get into this, and I know I've mentioned this before, so I may have started this already. I mean, this may be a rehash. Maybe it is. I don't remember. But anyways, as I was looking at it, it was so important that even if I did teach it already, I'm going to go over it. But the critical thing here, it says the word commandments. So is that word commandments just like the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament? Or is there something different in the New Testament? And there is something different in the New Testament, but they are commandments, and I'm going to get into it. I'm going to lead into it, and then we're going to get into what these commandments are, because they're a blessing for God's commandments to us here, as it's laid out in the New Testament, is a great blessing, and it's very easy to keep them. Very easy. All right, so let's get over here now back into PowerPoint and start off with commandments. All right, the definition of commandment. And I sat there thinking about it myself, and commandment to me is something like be told to do. And that's pretty close, but I want to narrow it down or nail it down here. A definition from the dictionary is an authoritative command to do something. So, in other words, a commandment isn't just saying, okay, John, you know, go and do this. A commandment is coming from someone with great authority. Someone from great authority issues a command. Command or order. It's a mandate, divine rule. It's an injunction. So those are strong terms, a mandate, command or order, divine rule, an injunction. It carries a lot of weight with us, with that word, folks, commandment. So, but it's coming from authority, and therefore it should be obeyed. Now, one of the major themes in John's three letters here is the use of the word commandment or commandments. John uses the word 20 times. So, it's not a long book. First John, it's 5 chapters. None of the chapters are really, really long. But in that, in those chapters, 20 times the word commandments are used. So that's why I call it the main body. Chapter 1 is leading into, it's a preface here for the main body here where the word commandments is used so many times. Keeping God's commandments is critical to being in fellowship with him and being full of his joy. Now, you're going to see as I get into this that his commandments are not strenuous. In fact, the word that's used in this is grievous. It's not you're laboring under keeping his commandments, as you'll see as we get into this teaching. So what are God's commandments? What are they? If the word's being used 20 times in this, it's not a medium-sized book. It's not a big book of the Bible, but it's used 20 times. What are God's commandments? All right, so let's look at these scriptures here now. 1 John 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now here, commandments is very important, but I'm stressing on the word keep, because that's how we stay in fellowship, if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now this word liar jumps up here, and it's used several times in 1 John, the word liar. And I'm going to post every time that it's used. But that is, in other words, there's no gray area in this. We're either keeping God's commandments or we're not. And that whoever says that he keeps his commandments and doesn't is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his commandments in him, verily, now look at this, is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Now, the love of God is perfected. So in keeping God's commandments, one of the results of it is the love of God is perfected in us. And ultimately, that's what God's desire is. I mean, it's very important to know the scriptures, to read the scriptures, to study the scriptures. However, God is really, as I look at this, the scriptures, he's much more interested in his love perfecting and being perfected in us, that we have a great knowledge of the word. The word is very important. I'm not putting it down, but look at that verse again. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And so the love of God is perfected. So God is after love, folks. And he's, and that word perfected, I have not looked it up, but I've got a strong feeling it's like, matured. It's that we've been matured in the Lord. The love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he will. So, you know, if we claim that we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then our life should line up with, his life. As he walked here on earth, as a disciple, we ought to line up with as he walked. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him, dwells in him, like lives in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So he's our goal, folks. He's the one that, what's in the word of God, we should be following him as his disciple. So that means obedience. Keeping his commandments is obedience. Even walking as he walked is obedience. So that obedience there will, God's love will get perfected in us. And I'll discuss that. I'll explain that more when we get into what the commandments are. Now, who is a liar? You're going to see it's used several times here in 1 John. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So what it is, if we say we don't sin, we're self-righteous. And God says no one is self-righteous. And that's because we all go back to Adam. And so we have Adam, and then the Bible says the second Adam. Adam is where the fallen nature comes from. And the second Adam is Jesus Christ. And we have redemption through him. We have forgiveness of sin through him. Whatever we lost in Adam, we've gotten back and more through Jesus Christ. But that sin nature is being dealt with, I'm going to say, while we're here on earth. It's part of us growing spiritually, is getting victory over the sin nature. So if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is serious, folks. I mean, John is not, this isn't soft words. This is hard words. In other words, if you're going to say, you know, I know him, and you're not going to live a life according to him, then the Bible says that person is a liar and the truth is not in them. They're deceiving themselves. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So, that has to do, verse 22 has to do with the, Gnostic heresy. If you remember, I taught on the Gnostic heresy. The Gnostic heresy has to do about the word, about knowledge. So the There were several branches to the Gnostic heresy, but basically they all denied that Jesus was the Savior. One of the branches said that all flesh is sin, and that therefore he couldn't have come in the flesh. So, as I said, there were several branches off to the Gnostic heresy, but all of them denied that Jesus is the Christ. So 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? And what does that mean? Well, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So what 1 John links up here is if you deny the Son, you deny the Father also. But this definitely, verse 22, would touch upon the Gnostic heresy. So there's another liar who denies that Jesus is the Christ. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath not seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Let me say it again. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not on the record that the Son of God, that God gave of his Son. So here's another one now. Basically, if you deny the gospel, if a person denies the gospel, that person then is classified as a liar. Let me say that verse again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So those are, you know, really cutting words. It's black and white here. There's no gray area. You know, if you believe in Jesus, then you have the witness in yourself. If you don't believe, if you believe not the gospel here, then that person is classified by God as a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Lots of black and white in here, folks. No gray area. Now, about lying. This is what God thinks of lying. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Now, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. And folks, the time we live in now, the lying is that we see. We can see it on TV and on the internet, the news, with the political lying and people ahead of just stuff we see in politics and about culture on the news. I mean, the lying is outrageous. They lie about lying and about lying. They have lies built upon lies. Some of them can't tell the truth. Even when I notice this, that even when there's an issue there that they can really, it's on their side, let's say, and all they got to do is tell the truth, they can't. There's always a twist to it, folks, the truth with these people. There's something. There's a lying spirit in them, and they're compelled to lie. So I think that it's so deep in them, the lying, that they they're lying like they breathe. You know, we don't think about breathing; we just breathe. And these people, they don't think about lying; they just do it. It's natural to them. It's in their nature. They can't tell the truth. They just can't. It's painful for them to tell the truth. So, God hates a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet to be swift in running to mischief. Now, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brother. A false witness that speaketh lies. I was thinking about the Lord's trial, and they brought witnesses against the Lord, and they were all false witnesses. They all said false things. And it says they couldn't agree upon themselves. They were such liars that they were compulsive liars. But when the Lord gave his testimony about being the Son of God, that was enough proof for the high priest. But yeah, false witnesses is lying. And he that soweth discord among the brethren, I was thinking about that. He that soweth discord among the brethren, probably 95% of the discord is lies, or it's truth embellished. The ones that sow discord, they're doing it for evil. So they want to tell something, want to embellish it, because that's part of loving discord. So there's no doubt that he that soweth discord among the words that is being spoken are lies of like embellishing it to make it look worse, or outright lying that it didn't happen, but they're saying it happened. So there you go. In these seven things, three of them are about lying: a lying tongue, false witnesses, and he that soweth discord. Now John tells us, the Apostle John tells us, where the lies come from. Now he's engaged with the Pharisees, and he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Yeah, you see, he wasn't living in the truth. Satan loves discord, loves all the lies, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So those people that are engaged in lies, like these politicians, they're just speaking the words of from the father, the devil. The origin of lying comes from Satan. And of course, you know, we have that fallen sin nature. So that two things work together. That's fallen sin nature, and then lying, our own mind, our own sin nature. So lying is not liked by the Lord folks. It's to be, as we mature in the Lord, our whole thinking process should just be lining up with the truth. And there's safety in that. Once we start lying, folks, we're in the devil's realm, but, and he can take those lies and turn you upside down with them. All right. Who is a liar? 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God, which I've mentioned already, hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the record that God gave of his Son. Those that believe not in the record that God gave of his Son, the Bible defines as the liar. Because the Bible says Jesus was given as his Son, so those who come against that are lying. Now there's two scriptures in the book of Revelation. One is in chapter 21, the other is in chapter 22. And they have to do about lying. And these are, it shows you, or it shows us, in God's view, what lying, what liars are. We'll go to 22 first, 22:15. For without are dogs, that's outside of heaven, folks, and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever, now look at this, loveth and maketh a lie. There are people out there, habitual liars, that love to lie, folks. They're psychopathical liars. They can't tell the truth. So it talks about those that would be going into the lake of fire. And there's the list of things are really, sins that we do of our hands, we'll say. Sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and then we come to liars. The first ones are all physical, but liars, and the placing of where that is like frightening to see the future. Those that loveth and maketh a lie, it's the lake of fire, folks. Let's go to verse chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. So here we go. Well, fearful, it doesn't fit it. Unbelieving doesn't fit it. But abominable does, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. Those are all, again, very similar to verse 22, chapter 22, is they are like sins of action, I'm going to say. But fearful and liars go together in that it is not done. Like action, that's the best word I can put in it. But fearful and liars are counted with that group. They're counted with murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. So fearful, all there, and then unbelieving. Fearful, unbelieving, and lying all goes together in that although they are not physical in the sense of the other sins, yet, nonetheless, they're sins, and they end up, look where it says where they'll end up. All these people shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, being separated from God for eternity, and one of the major sins listed here has to do with a lying tongue. Amazing, folks. That's God's take on liars. Take on liars. Now, I remember one of my sons, and I'm not going to mention a name, but my wife was coming to me and saying she was catching him in bold-faced lies. Now, he was only a youngster. So I said something one day to him, and it was a bold-faced lie. So I got a hold of him, and I told him what a lie was. He just lied to me. I told him what truth was. And he always has to tell me and his mother the truth. It can never be a lie. He said he would. So, like the next day, he caught him in another lie. So I said, son, here's what's going to happen. I told you not to lie. You lie. So, the next time you lie, you got the wooden spoon, and you're going to get it crushed to your butt. And then the next time you lie, it'll be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 until you stop. Like, sure enough, I caught him in a lie, and he was begging and saying he'd never do it again. I said, no, son, you didn't lie. You lied. I told you what would happen. So I whacked him. And I didn't shame him. I just whacked him and told him that you'll never get spanked again for that if you don't lie. You stop. I got up to 7. I got up to 7. And he was pleading and begging for mercy. I had no mercy on him. I said, no, I will stop spanking you when you stop lying. Never another time that I have any problem with him about lying. But you see, that lying, it comes from Adam. It comes from Adam, folks. And that's our sin nature. And I think it's our job as a parent to cut it off there as a youngster, to really deal with that, to get lying out of it. But yeah, that's what happened to him. He got seven. He was screaming and hollering, and I said, "You know, you stop lying, and this will never happen again." So it never happened again. But lying. Now, I didn't teach him how to lie. I didn't. What would be the word? I never said a word to him about lying. He did it on his own. It just came like naturally from him. And that's the sin nature we have. So God wants us to tell the truth and to live with him, the fellowship with him. It has to be in truth. We can't go into a relationship with the Lord full of lies. We have to line up with his word. And as we line up with his word, there we're going to have fellowship with him. When we have fellowship with him, our joy will be full. All right, let's follow up on this now. What is the commandment? And from the beginning. All right. So let's take a look at the commandment here now. There are two concepts needed to understand the message of 1 John. The commandments and from the beginning. Now, commandment is found in 1 John 3:23. So all these times that it's talking about commandment, it's not defining it till we get to 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the first. See, it's actually two commandments combined as one. That's the first. The second is, and to love one another as he gave us command. So that is the commandments that John is talking about. No mention, as we think of the Ten Commandments, from Moses and the law. The New Testament commandment is, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. So that is a commandment from him, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. And then the second part, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So putting both together gives us his commandment, believing on Christ and loving one another. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I mean, believing on Christ, is that grievous? Of course not. And loving one another as he gave us commandment. Now, sometimes we could be full of hate inside and anger inside, and love is difficult. And God wants to, he'll work in us to bring that, he'll work in us so that we can love his love. Will work in us so that we can love even on our own. We couldn't do it. So his commandments are not grievous. So believing on Jesus Christ is not grievous, and love one another is not grievous either, as he gave us commandment. But I like that, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. I feel that in it. It's like, he's saying it's simple here. And his commandments are not grievous. Those two go together real nice, folks. 1 John 3:23 and 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So as you're reading, unless there's something brought in about commandments, but if not, this is what his commandments are. Believing on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This is the great commandment under the law. It is more what follows, I should say, is the great commandment under the law. It is more self-oriented with a works type element in it. So this guy comes to the Lord in Matthew 22:36, and he says, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Let me stop here. Because this matches what John is saying. And you shall believe on the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we love God, with all our heart, with all our mind, and all our soul. This is the first and great commandment. So that matches 1 John 3:23. And the second is like this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So actually, you know, 1 John 3:23 matches really good with this, the commandment here in Matthew 22:36 and 39. The only difference is loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. In the New Testament, it's believing. That's how we love God, with all our heart, soul, and mind, is believing in Jesus Christ. That's not grievous. Now, it's very interesting, and I thought it was worth bringing out, teaching you. This commandment is in two sections in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6:5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. Now, for the longest time, I thought that those two commandment and loving your neighbor was with Deuteronomy 6:5. I just assumed it. And when I read Deuteronomy, it never dawned on my mind to look for the second commandment there. So when you look for the second commandment, it's not in Deuteronomy. It's not next to Deuteronomy 6:5. It's in Leviticus 19:18. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So what I assumed for many, many, many years was together, like in the same chapter, we'll say. I just never looked at the scriptures in the Old Testament there to see the commandment there that the Lord was quoting from. But when I did go to find it, I was shocked to find out it was in Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So those two scriptures there are spread out in different books of the Bible, and the Lord put them together and told this man there that was questioning him. He put Deuteronomy 6:5 together with Leviticus 19:18 and said, these are the greatest commandments. Now, again, showing this all together in the New Testament, it's 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That is the same as Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind is the same believing on Jesus Christ, on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And then Leviticus 19:18 is, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So there it is. God's commandment has to do about belief and love. So to walk with God, as it was saying there in the scriptures, We have to believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And the next key is love. We need to love one another as he gave us command. So it's not an option, folks, for us to love. It's a commandment, an injunction. It's a mandate. It's a commandment. And so there may be times when it's maybe, what would be the word, very difficult to love someone because of their attitudes and actions. That is an opportunity for us to grow in love. I was talking to someone today, as a matter of fact, and he was in a group of people, and one of the people there, one of the persons there was talking, and they were talking about those kids that were killed in Gaza. Just today it was on the news. And someone in the group was, what would it be the word? They were encouraging and exalting Hamas. So this guy got so angry and so upset, he had to actually get out of the group, and they were going to go to lunch, and he wouldn't go to lunch. He did confront the guy that said this twice, but he was so angry, he couldn't. They told me this. He realized he was wrong. He said, I couldn't tell him the truth about what Hamas was. I said, I couldn't do it. I was so angry and so full of like violence for him. So in that case, you become useless to the Lord. The Lord would have wanted maybe to talk about the Hamas covenant and killing all the Jews and taking Jerusalem as its capital. But he couldn't continue in a conversation because of his anger in him. So we should love one another. We should have great love in us. And that great love in us can be provoked for a short time, and then it leaves, and we're free to witness to a person because maybe they just needed to know the truth. They didn't know the truth. Maybe. But it's very important that love overcomes evil. Very, very important. This is a commandment of God. So Jesus overcame the evil that they hated him. He was being mocked. Eventually he was crucified. In fact, when the Roman army was driving the nails there to Jesus, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amazing, amazing. But that is how we walk with God in love. The hatred there could not, the anger and hatred, it could not be used of God to witness to that person that was saying. He didn't have self-control. Love was not controlling the situation, but hatred. All right, let me see the time here. We'll go a little more. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Let me see if I put these scriptures here. Yeah, I did. 1 John 2:8. Again, a new covenant I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shining. So when it says there, it looks a little odd the way it's written. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And that which what they heard from the beginning with Jesus was about love. About love. Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing you heard in him and in you, because the darkness has now passed and the true light now shineth. And now we go to the Gospel of John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. The new commandment is a love beyond normal love. And that new commandment, just hang on here for a second. Yeah, there's a verse I should really have added in here. But hang on. It was off the top of my head. I just can't. I know it's in the Gospel of John someplace. But the new commandment takes love to the level of Christ going to the cross. I'm paraphrasing. So this is, we're getting in the realm now of where God's love gets perfected in us, where we are overcomers. Love overcomes. The new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So the new commandment with that really takes it to another level, where Christ's love was shown on the cross. And that's what this is driving at. This is, there's an old commandment and there's a new commandment. The new commandment is that Christ went to the cross. And that is the, like the fullness of love. That is the new commandment that, 1 John is talking about. 1 John 2:9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is a tremendous teaching here, again, on love. He that saith he's in the light. Now, love and light go together. And hateth his brother, he is in darkness, even until now. Hating puts us in darkness. Loving has us in God's light. And this is the message of 1 John right now. And God's commanding us to walk in love so that we're in the light. We really, really hurt ourselves spiritually, folks, in a big way with hatred. Hating our parents. Parents hating the children. Hating people that maybe offended us. Hating our brothers, sisters, cousins. You know, hating teachers. We want all hatred out of us, folks. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. See, that love says none occasion of stumbling. We can't get like, because hatred can blind us. Look what verse 11 says. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So when we hate people in the church, hate the pastor, hate family members, you know, people we're in contact in school, you know, teachers, it blinds our eyes, folks. We can do things that get us in trouble. Because that hatred is ruling, and anger and malice ruling. So we don't want to do that. And it separates us from God. It literally, that hatred, that in the natural, there may be a justified for hatred in the natural. Hating your parents for whatever reason, sibling, teacher in school, boss at work, coworkers, neighbors. We live above that, folks. We live above it in God's love. So that God's love doesn't mean we have to be overjoyed with the person. You know, what God's love is, it means we don't hurt them, hate them. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know, the Roman soldiers. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. So again, it's not, we have this big, love like nothing's wrong. I can't explain it. Let me slow down and try and get this. You know, the love is to love all people doesn't mean that we have to ignore what they are, what they're saying. It means that we don't have hatred for them. No hatred. That's the big thing here. There may be someone that needs to be confronted for what they're saying, and you tell them the truth. That doesn't mean you hate them. Hatred is a thing inside of us. Could be inside of us. So we don't hate. It's hate which puts us in darkness. I remember a teacher when I was in high school, and I took, she was the chemistry teacher, and I don't know why, but she certainly did hate me. And I remember the first test I took, I did really poor. I mean, really poor. I didn't study, and I don't know, whatever else happened. I think I was watching some TV shows, and I didn't study, and I got a poor grade. And she mocked me in front of the class. She told the class what my grade was. And then after mocking me, she was at the door on the way out when class was over, and she stopped me. And she said, you're over your head here. I said, no, I'm not. I just didn't study. She said, drop the class. I said, no, I'm not. I remember it was my senior year and I needed it to graduate. And she said, well, I'm not going to help you. And I got a really bad, we got six marking periods, and this one here was really bad. And the other ones, I did okay, but it was tough to offset the first marking period. So every time in class, when we had a grade, she would read my grade out loud to everybody. She'd hand the test back, put the score on it, and then she'd announce my grade. I remember she called me Mr. McTernan. He goes, Mr. McTernan must have studied a little here. You know, and I tell you what, I could hate her. For the mocking me in public and all, I didn't think it was funny. So then New York State, they had two finals. One was one the high school gave you and one the state gave you. It's called the State Regents. The State Regents was the one that really counted. If you did good in the State Regents, that could bump your final grade way up. So when I took the test, the State Regents test, I knew I did well. Real well on it. And I was walking down the hall and I needed to know that the last score I needed to know that I, so I could graduate was chemistry. I saw her and I went up to her and I said, I told her I needed to know the grade for my final score. She said, follow me. And it was where I met her, it was quite a ways to her office. I was behind her. She never said a word. I never said a word, just followed her into the room. She sat down behind a desk. She had a big ledger, I remember, big ledger. And she looked across and she said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. McTernan, but you failed. And I knew I didn't. So I looked at her and I said, no, I didn't fail. I think I did real good on it. So I remember she looked across and she got a ruler out, a big ruler, and she laid it there and she followed a finger across, and she said, oh, yes, my mistake, Mr. McTernan. You got a 92. I said, thank you very much. And it was boiling. Hatred was boiling in me inside. And years later, I would recite that then. What I just told you, it would come up, something would come up once in a while. I say, well, let me tell you about this teacher that I had. Then I found out that not too many years later, I graduated. I'm going to say about 15 years later, I found out she died. She died of cancer. At that time, I was with the Lord, and no, there was no hatred in me for at this no hatred in me for her at this time, but I really felt bad. And she died like that. Because I had all that interaction with her. And then she died very young. but it, I don't think, it, I don't know how many years it was after I graduated. She was probably, as a teacher, she was probably about 30. She wasn't old. And then she died, I guess, in her 40s. So it was probably like 10 to 15 years later. Somehow I was talking to someone from school that kind of kept up on everything. I didn't keep up on school. Told me that she had passed away. It was probably about 15 years later. But at that time, as I said, I was with the Lord, and I had no hatred in me for her at all. Felt really bad dying like that. They said she never married, and they suspected she was a lesbian. So, but anyways, harboring hatred against a teacher like that is darkness. And that darkness, it affects us with God, folks. Hating. Harboring hating like that. Because it's in darkness. And look at verse 11. 1 John 2:11. This is a verse for everyone, folks. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. So when we hate, we're blinded. And that's like a spiritual blindness, and we don't know it. So it can do damage to us, folks, get us in trouble with that hatred, going about blinded, spiritually blinded, and not knowing you're blinded, but the word says we are. So that's a powerful verse, again, for everyone. Everyone should, I think, know 1 John 2:11. He that hateth his brother, that's against God's commandment. And that's why it's going to wreak havoc on us, is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay, so with that, I think we'll call it a night. And no hatred, folks. Get it all out. I remember going to pray, and I know I told this story probably many times. I was going to pray with a brother that was having mental problems. Trying to think of his name. Paul. I had only met him like twice, but he was close to a pastor friend of mine. So my pastor, Jeff, knew him really good, but I didn't know Paul hardly at all. But he was having all sorts of problems, and I went to pray for him, and I couldn't. The Lord stopped me. I couldn't. And I told him, I said, Paul, there's something wrong here. I want to pray for you. And I couldn't. And I think I brought up hatred. I may have brought up hatred at that time. And he told me about his mother. He said his mother broke his heart when he was 11, 8. It was all vivid. And this guy he was in his 60s, and he had been a veteran in Vietnam, a decorated veteran in Vietnam. So he said, I asked him if he forgave his mother. He said, yes. I prayed for him and healing of his heart. It changed his life, radically changed his life. He didn't need any of the VA drugs. He went to his mother, asked her for forgiveness. They were restored, led his mother to the Lord. Paul became a preacher. He had a preacher bottled up in him. He couldn't come out with that hatred for his mother. And so he became a preacher. He liked to go out in the street to witness also. He would go to bus stops and hand out brochures. And I have no idea what happened to Paul. That was 25 years ago, I guess now. No, I met Pastor Jeff's funeral, and then we talked. He was so happy, so thankful about his heart being healed, and he was preaching now. And he couldn't, his eyes were blinded, folks, and he couldn't get overcome these drugs the VA was putting in him and all that bondage he was in. Soon as he forgave his mother, I prayed that his heart was healed. Radical change. But until then, he knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. None of us want to be blinded here, folks. None of us. So,
all right.
Let's call it a night here now and go over. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in at 717-409-5553, or you could email me at mct911@aol.com. And if you're mailing me about anything to ministering, put in the subject prayer. I'll pick that off right away. And so let's go over to the Uber conference room, which I still call it, and see if there are any questions here, comments. Paula Jean, any questions or comments about walking in the light, walking in truth, no lying, abiding in the light? Yeah, Sister Paula Jean. Can't hear you, Paula Jean. All right. Sharon, how are you doing, Sharon?
Okay. I really enjoyed listening to that sermon tonight. And I was reading through my online Bible, the King James, to kind of keep up with what you were talking about with the love and stuff. And sermon, it just reminded me, you know, of some things that I went through as a little child and stuff, and learning what love really is and being able to accept it, that other people might not be able to love because they were never loved.
Right.
You know, and one experience I had was when my grandfather, my mom's dad, he was getting pretty ready to pass away. And all of a sudden, he just whispered to me, "I love you." And Chaplain John, I just went into mass hysteria. This man never, ever says anything like that to any of us kids. And I went running out of the house screaming. And then, of course, my mom and everybody started coming from the other house, figuring that he might have passed away. And my mom, you know, got stopped, and I'm jumping all up and down in hysterics. And she goes, "Sharon, what's wrong? What's wrong?" I goes, "I can hardly get it out." I goes, "He said he loves me, Mom." And my mom just broke out in tears, too. But then she goes, that's a good thing, Sharon, because you know that we all love him and stuff. And it was, it just, this whole sermon, so it just kind of reminded me of that incident and, of course, others and stuff. But we got to love people and we got to let them know it.
Yeah. I mean, God is love, folks.
Yeah. Amen.
God is love. And some of us, it's very hard to give and receive love because of a broken heart, and our heart gets scarred up. In fact, in Ezekiel, talking about that, calls it a heart of stone, and that the new heart is a heart of flesh.
Right.
It's very interesting, Sharon, when you were talking about that. Now, I was raised good part of my life with my grandparents.
Right.
My grandpa got sick, and I was very close to him, but he never did really say anything to me like, "Well, you're a good boy," or anything like that.
Right,
and I never thought of it. I never even thought of that with him, you know. But I didn't get that type like a real loving father would say things. He didn't say that to me. But he loved me. I knew he loved me, but he never said anything.
Right.
So he was dying. It reminded me when you said about your grandpa. So he was sitting on a chair, and I came into the room there, and he was staring at me, and it made me very uncomfortable the way he was staring at me. And I kind of moved around a little, and when I looked back, he was still staring at me. And immediately, I felt I did something. He was angry with me. That was my thought, Sharon. I said, I did something wrong. He's mad at me. He's angry at me. So I walked over to him and I said, "Grandpa, did I do something wrong or something?" He called me Mac.
Right.
He goes, "Mac, you're a good boy, Mac."
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That must have hit you hard.
That was the last thing he said to me. He died
days
later. In fact, I said, what, Grandpa? He said, "Mac, you're a good boy."
Oh, my goodness.
Here I thought he was angry with me. He wanted to tell me that. He was staring at me.
Yeah, Chaplain, that's so precious. It's so priceless.
Yeah, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. I understand that. And my grandfather grew up like a single child. His brother passed away when they were very young from one of the contagion diseases and stuff. So my grandfather didn't have anybody to love him, per se. He didn't know what it was.
Yeah. So I've learned, you know, to be very loving to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
I learned that the way I grew up, to be very, very loving. Because if you don't tell the kids that you love them, it does something. You know, they have to hear that, because that's the way God put us together as a family unit.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, God is love. And that's what it kind of all boils down to, that. Sister Kathy.
Let the light shine.
So
yeah,
can anyone here picture little Sharon? A little Sharon. I can't, Sharon. Running out of the house screaming. A mother thinks something wrong. I know. It's funny to think we see each other as adults, but of course we were all kids once. You know?
Oh, yeah.
She had so many traumatic experiences during her childhood. You know, things that you wouldn't have thought would have triggered her fear just kicked her over the edge. But I had a question, but I can't. I don't. It was very near to the first of it, and I just didn't have a pen to write it down. And if I don't, I don't remember. But it was a very good study. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that 1 John 3:23 is a scripture that we all should know about his commandment to believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he gave us commandment. And I know I've taught that before in this study. It's coming back to me now. But his commandment is not grievous. I mean, loving, you know, Sister Kathy, it's not grievous, but it could be hard, because we could have people, you know, a boss at work, a neighbor. You could have, she's passed away many, many years ago. I won't mention her name, though, that teacher. I just won't.
Mm-hmm.
Man, she wrote me something awful that whole semester.
Yeah, there's some very indelible things that can happen.
Well, someone here is busy on the phone.
Don't accept it.
Okay. Paula Jean just called in. She was the one on the phone.
Okay. She made it through.
Good. Matt.
Paula Jean, you got to call back, Paula Jean. Signal's bad. I'm bouncing you out. Okay, call back. Try calling back. Well, Sister Kathy, maybe you could remember that question or comment.
It was during the time of the you know, his greater commandment. It was around that time, but.
All right, Paula Jean's back. Let's find out. Paula Jean?
Yes, is that better?
That's better.
Oh, good. Wonderful teaching. I'm just very, very grateful. Yeah, I can see a little, Sharon, but it's like Kathy was saying, when you have a lot of trauma and you aren't walking with the Lord, that's what happened to me when I gave up for a while and said, God, you've got to find me a teacher that can help make sense of this so that I get it the way you want it, because everybody had different stories about the Bible and what it was saying. And so I just I waited on him till he really got me where I knew that what he was giving me was what he wanted me to have. And I was grateful for that. And I'm glad he got it to me before I died. And but I think we all have a journey, and it's like he waits on us to make our right choice. And sometimes we just have a journey that he has to protect us through until we get to where he wants us to be. And I'm so grateful. That's why I pray. I pray, because not just for myself, for sure, for others who don't realize how important this is. And I think that's one of those loving things that we can do, and then look to the Lord for when to reach out to them and with what that will speak to their hearts and open up that place where they need the healing and are willing to receive love. You know, sometimes they don't realize that that's one of the things that they're afraid of, is that they don't want to let it in because they might lose it. And just really amazing how complicated that we can be, but for God, we're not.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows how to just love us anyway, and he waits for us, and he helps guide us. And what you're teaching is, it's like I couldn't love anybody in a way that was worthwhile until God got a hold of me and gave me a love that was different than the world's love.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a big button for me because I'm so absolutely overfilled with the gratitude and the awareness of how important and what a blessing it is. And once you taste it and allow them to work it in you, you don't want anyone to miss out.
You know, Paula Jean, you said something that triggered in me, since it's so, what's the word? Since it's so clear in my mind, I'm going to share it now. But you said, whatever you said triggered this.
Okay.
I had two people in West Texas that loved my ministry. That's the ministry I had with my book, As America's Under Israel. And they would set up meetings for me. And I love West Texas. I love Odessa. I absolutely love Odessa, Texas. But the problem is it's 8 hours from anywhere. And I could never take Nancy there. I would go there, tomorrow to Odessa. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't take Odessa, and I understand that. But anyways, the woman was Mary was her name, Mary Linthicum, and she had a whole bunch of daughters, and they were my age. She was an older woman, and she had the daughters, and so she became fond of me, and she said, "Do you mind if I adopt you as my son?" And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I don't know, 55 years old or something like that.
Right.
I said, "Oh, Mary, yeah, sure. Anyways, she had a friend whose name I don't remember. And the friend was in a little bit of a frenzy about the word. And she stayed with me. Every church she followed me. Every church I went to and spoke, he would come over and I'd take her there, and he'd come early in the morning, and at breakfast time she'd sit and she'd ask me prophecy questions. I mean, she sucked me dry of the knowledge. I didn't mind it, the knowledge of the word. Mm-hmm. So finally she told Mary, we're all together, and she said to Mary, she said, I got great peace now. She said, I fully understand the prophetic word. Mm. She said, John explained it to me, and I understand it. And she mm-hmm. said, I got perfect peace. And then she said, I'm ready to die. You
oh
said
my
something
goodness.
With that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say any. I didn't know what's going on. She was telling me she had to go. There was some sort of minor operation she had to go for the week after I left. So I went back to Pennsylvania, and Mary called me and told me that that woman just died. She was on the table doing the operation, and it wasn't a major operation at all. It was something minor. And I've often thought about that. I've often thought about that, Paula Jean. You know, she died within a week after I left, and she was telling me about the operation. She said, I'm a little concerned about it. But whatever I taught her, she needed to know in the Bible. And she said, I'm ready to die. And she did. She did.
Right. And without your knowing it, you were really loving her.
Yeah, I'd spent a lot of time with her. I mean, I wasn't really annoyed. She wanted to know the word, and she was hungry, and because she mm-hmm. She went to an Episcopalian church, I remember. She mm-hmm. even at lunch, she had two of her pastors, a pastor and assistant pastor, come to lunch to meet me and for me to tell them about Israel, and they could care less. I could see it. They were replacement right. theology and all of that, and yeah. this woman wanted them to know what I was teaching, and they were very polite to me. I was very polite to them, but they didn't want to be there, but they went there for her,
yeah.
you know, to meet yeah. with me.
Right. But you gave her what she needed to be prepared.
Yes.
And that was a blessing for you as well as for her.
Yes. Well, I never forgot it. I never, ever, ever did. I never forgot that. I mean, that was something yeah. I was, you know, with the last few days, she died a few days after that, and she yeah. said she's ready to die now. She actually said that in my prison.
Well, God lets us know somehow, you know, certain things that are important and when they're important. And I praise him that, you know, he was using you because you were willing, definitely, and able to give her what she needed. And he arranged for that meeting, and you cooperated, and the blessing was bountiful for you both. I'm sure of it. Like you said, you never forgot it because it definitely, you know, how much he was working with you and through you and loving through you. And I mean, it's like when you give like that so freely of your time and of your knowledge, you know, you've been blessed and you are passing that blessing on. And I'm sure you didn't charge her $500. You know, it's like it was from a loving heart, God's kind of loving heart.
I think Mary had five daughters. She had, I think, uh-huh. five daughters. So she wanted to adopt.
She needed a son. Yep.
That's
and
funny.
You were a pretty good one.
All right. Gigi.
Great story. Thank you.
All right. Bye now. Bye. Thank you. Yeah, Gigi, any questions or comments?
Well, that was a very good teaching, and I liked that specific book. I don't have any interesting stories to share, but it was interesting.
Oh, no, wait a second. You must have a whole load of stories about Randy. Now, come on. Come on.
Oh, about Randy?
Yes, come on.
I don't know.
Hey, John.
Yes,
John.
Randy. Yes.
You're not supposed to tell stories about the other guy. You know, when we were in Malaysia, there was this lady from the Philippines who used to stay with us. And so they were good Christians. And we went to church on a Sunday. And this church, they wanted somebody to get up and give a testimony. So this lady from the Philippines, she goes up there and she says, on the way over here, Randy got stopped by the police. And she went on about this. And so we called her Mama. Anyway, when she got done, I said, Mama, you're not supposed to testify about the other guy.
Gigi, I told you you'd have a story, didn't I?
Yeah, that's his story. But yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything offhand other than...
I do
have a story about Randy, which I will tell you. And that is when we got married, he had a kitty that absolutely adored him. And I found out that kitty slept on his head. He adored him. And I told Randy, this isn't going to fly. Because he was a white Angora, so he had really long white hair, white fur. So anyway, that's my story. But that kitty just absolutely adored Randy. So that's my story.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but no, I was going to say, I think it's really important. I really liked what Paula Jean had to say, where when you become a Christian, and also not just when you become a Christian, but if you have good teaching, we had a pastor that taught us a lot about I can't say it was like the difference between earthly love and godly love, but he did describe different things like that and what forgiveness was and what it wasn't, so that he could remove a lot of barriers from people in regards to forgiveness so that you could love somebody. And that was extremely, extremely helpful. And because I had never heard that before where, he spelled it out, like when you forgive, you're not agreeing with any evil. You don't have to submit yourself to evil. And so you're forgiving because Christ forgave you.
Yes.
You know, for me.
Now, if God didn't forgive, we couldn't have eternal life.
Right. You know, right.
God can go that to that extreme and degree, then we have to also.
Yes. Yes, but I think, you know, what Paula Jean said is that the Lord has to show you how to do that, because there are people that you run across in life that are not lovable, you know? I mean, realistically, right. Not lovable.
Yes.
Especially if they, like you said about your teacher, where, you know, they don't like you. And so you have to be able to understand what it means and what it doesn't mean. And so I remember because that pastor told us, I remember it was really clear. I said, well, what if you're having a hard time, you know, forgiving someone? So then he said, well, if you want to forgive them, that's like a first step. And then you go to God and you ask him, okay, I want to forgive this person. I want to love this person, but I can't do it on my own because, you know, you're like a baby in that area. And so then he said, so you ask the Lord to help you. So that's like your first step to obey, because, I mean, some people have had terrible things happen to them. So anyway, that was a very good reminder. And I like what Paula Jean said, because it's doing it God's way and empowered by him to do it.
John, I thought of a story. And that is, when I was working at the IMF, the director of the department, this lady did not like me. And she showed it. And there were other people in the department that actually saw that this lady didn't like me. Now, she's the director of a department at the IMF, and she doesn't like me. And as weird as this sounds, the only thing I could figure out about it was she was jealous of me for the kind of work I was doing. And it just didn't make any sense. I mean, she had all this prestige, probably making twice as much money as I was and had all that kind of stuff. Why would she be jealous of me? But anyway, the point that I wanted to make about it was that I instantly forgave her for it, but she would do something where other people would see it, and they'd come to my office, and they'd say, that was really something what Mrs. X did to you, and I wouldn't buy into being angry about it or upset about it or anything, and I'd make it clear to them that I forgave her. I try to find an excuse for why she would have said whatever she said. But, you know, the funny thing about it was people try to stoke unforgiveness, you know? they seemed to be sorry that I wouldn't go along with saying something about this lady. I just found that, you know, some people will stoke unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's all sowing discord amongst the brethren. Remember showed you that in Proverbs 6? Things that God hates? They that sow discord amongst the brethren. And it's probably laced with lies. You know, that sowing discord is laced with lies.
Right.
And let's get over and talk to Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. I'm really grateful to the teaching tonight, and I was really well blessed. And like I have said before, is that I believe I have a broken heart from when I was young. But as I listen to you teach, certain things would be brought up, certain memories would be brought up that I remembered, and I would pray about them and ask the Lord to hear my broken heart or ask forgiveness or whatever case may be. But these teachings of love, I am really blessed by them. So thank you very much.
Oh, that's what teaching the word is for, right? And this here is so, First John is so we could have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And our joy could be full, right?
Right. Yes.
So
yeah.
That's working in all of us, so that there's nothing in the way of us having fellowship with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ.
Right. And I really believe the Lord wanted me on this prayer line.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, it was a fast night. Tomorrow morning, we have prayer. Patty will be there at the end of the prayer show to pray for anybody that needs healing. He prayed for one man that had been in an automobile in the last couple of weeks. He prayed for one man who was in an automobile accident, and he had a compressed spine as a result of it, and tremendous pain. He had to sleep on the floor, on a mattress on the floor. So anyways, Patty prayed for him, and I've spoken to him since, and he's like a new man, he said. Well, and he had been like that for many years. Now, that just happened. He prayed for Nancy that her hip would be healed and she wouldn't have to go for the operation, and that's exactly what happened. I'm trying to think of other things he prayed for. But anyways, you could call in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. That's when we finish praying. If you need prayer, and Patty will pray for you. So God bless everybody. And I think we'll have Sister Sharon. You can choose a song for closing, all right?
Oh, my goodness. I've been looking at this all day. Don Moen, Our Father.
Okay. I'm not on YouTube. Hang on. Let me get on YouTube and take me a moment here to get started.
Oh, yeah. God bless everybody. So glad to be here tonight to listen.
And we're glad you're here.
Yes. And I got a lot of treatments going on tomorrow, so I hope I don't miss too much program.
What was the song?
Don Moen, Our Father.
I know that I remember. Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven. and we've gathered here today. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry. Oh Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace today.
God bless everybody.
God bless
you. See you tomorrow morning, if not Friday, Saturday evening for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.